This great feast of Corpus Christi that we celebrate today is, of course, well-rooted in the tradition and the history of the life of the Church. It's a feast that might be considered a theological dogmatic feast that was instituted in the 13th century to emphasize and uphold our belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist against those groups that did not share the interpretation of the Catholic Church, our interpretation of what we just heard, as meaning that Jesus is truly present. Now, we know that we still live amongst many who do not share our interpretation of the Eucharist. We rub elbows with Christians of different stripes all the time, and this comes up in our conversations, perhaps, with others. And today, we can be strengthened and edified and our belief in the Eucharist by what we just heard, the clarity with which Jesus wants to communicate this truth, the way he wants to continue giving himself truly present to us, his body and blood, and this bread and wine that becomes transformed. Indeed, seven times in that gospel reading we just listened to, we hear the connection between eating his flesh and life. Our life is dependent upon whether or not we eat his flesh. Sounded absurd to his first listeners, and still a point of marvel for us. And it's good to return to that marvel in front of this great mystery of how it is that God, become man, truly shares himself with us. And just as the manna in the desert for the Israelites, for us, our personal spiritual lives are nourished by the Eucharist, and our community is defined by it. It nourishes us as individuals, and it defines us as a community of faith. We hear this striking phrase, "Eat my flesh." We must eat his flesh. Now, the word flesh used in the Gospel of John, the great Greek word sarx, the same word that at the beginning in the prologue, when we hear that the Word became flesh. So this word for flesh doesn't mean simply the physical matter of flesh. Well, it means that, but also the entirety of Jesus' human nature. We are to take into ourselves the entirety of the way Jesus lived his humanity. His style of being human is to become our distinctive style. His way of loving those who were given to him and loving them till the end. His way of self-sacrificial love, even to the cross. And so we have divine life within us, not by transcending our humanity, not by transcending our flesh, but by living our humanity in the way that Jesus lived his. Jesus is to become, indeed, our model of humanity. Now, we might do well to ask ourselves now and then, how often is Jesus really the measure of my life? How often is Jesus really the role model, if you will, that I turn to in my day-to-day situations? This might seem a terribly basic question for a church full of Christians. But it's easy for our role models to become something else, for our measure to become something other than Jesus. Maybe it's a celebrity that we find attractive and we want to emulate. Maybe a sports figure. A great professor, a great writer. These can all be positive influences, but we must return to the question of who is the measure of my humanity? As St. Augustine says, we become what we receive when we receive the Eucharist. Just as the bread and wine are changed, we are to be changed into being people more like Jesus. And not some vague notion of what would Jesus do, but something rooted in our relationship with him. We come to know him by spending time with him in the Gospels, receiving him in the sacraments, the intimacy of our prayer life. He becomes the measure of our humanity. We become what we receive. Indeed, that bread from heaven comes to us, that blood from heaven searches new veins through which to flow in this world, searches space in your life and my life. And so we are given this feast as a memorial. We heard in the collect, that opening prayer, if you think back to that first prayer after the Gloria, we thank God for giving us this memorial of his passion, of the passion of Christ. So it's a memorial. This command to remember is important for our faith, is important for our understanding of the Eucharist. In fact, in our first reading today, that very first command that Moses said to the people, remember, it begins with a command not to forget. But this memorial that we're given is a memorial in the biblical sense. It's more than just remembering, calling to mind, but it's actually a making present of the event, a returning to the profound meaning of that event and reliving it. And so this memorial is not just a reenactment. It's not just a nice thought. But what's happening here, what happens every time we come to Mass, is a making present of Jesus' passion. We're not doing it over again. We're making that one passion present. And we're invited to participate in that. Now, this is mind-blowing. And it's good to marvel at it. Nothing in our human experience gives us access to the divine like what we celebrate here. And this should change our hearts. Remember. What is that remember that we are called to do? In the first reading, the remember is directed towards the Israelites. And Moses says, remember your time in the desert. They're called to remember that time, which in the desert, in biblical terms, it's always an image of being reduced to the essentials. Our distractions melt away, and we come face to face with what's really in our heart. That's what Moses said. Remember when the Lord took you into the desert to see what was really in your heart. And so in the desert, we are ripe for an encounter with God. We get the rest of the distractions out of the way. Now this memorial that we celebrate today is a call to remember, is a call to be made present again. But of course, we're not literally led into the desert. Happily, the air conditioning is functioning pretty well this weekend. We don't have that physical desert experience, but we are invited to allow ourselves to be led into that spiritual space where we're really ready for an encounter with God, where we let those distractions melt away, where we let God ask us, what's really in your heart? And are you ready to let me in there? He may ask us. And so we are called upon today to remember, to enter into the sacrifice that's made present once again, to be nourished in our spiritual lives by this great truth, this great mystery that we contemplate and celebrate, to allow it to define us as a community, and to change us into his likeness even more, so we truly become what we receive. And what we receive, we carry to the rest of the world when we leave these doors.